In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him to the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You might know that Advent is one of the oldest seasons of the church year. It has been celebrated in churches since the Middle Ages. Each year, for the 4 weeks before Christmas, we set aside time to prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus. Advent means coming. Our texts are often apocalyptic, full of imagery about Jesus' coming, or fiery calls to repent so our hearts will be ready. The Advent hymns that we sing are often set in a minor key, which I know is everyone's favorite. We remember the darkness of the time before Jesus came. I really love Advent. I love the wisdom of the church calendar of setting aside a time to prepare in a way that we don't usually do. As our devotion book, Celebrating Abundance by Walter Brueggemann, touches on, this season we're in is a season of abundance. It is so easy to get swept away in the commercialism of the moment, to put on our Hallmark watching sweatshirts and watch the Hallmark movies that make us feel so good, or the Christmas movies where Christmas will be ruined if Santa is not saved and the presents don't get delivered. We know that our faith is much more than these things, but it's easier than ever to get fatigued and cynical by the culture around us and breeze right through the reason for the season. So we come to church on Sundays during Advent, and we hear reminders that our call as people of faith is to follow Jesus, a baby born, to love justice, to serve others, to love God and to love our neighbor, to cultivate hope, joy, love, and peace, to step outside the cultural extravaganza of Christmas and be silent, be still, and remember. Advent is not a passive time of year. The waiting we do in Advent is expectant waiting. It's the waiting we do when we know there's a surprise coming or the vacation is coming at the end of a long season. I think one of the people in the Nativity story that helps us really understand this expectant waiting is Mary. Here's a girl, a teenager, whose life was changed radically. Can you even imagine what it was like for her or Joseph to be visited by the angel? To hear, "Do not be afraid. You have found glory with God." I've always heard these words and thought, that must have been an amazing experience. Much like Moses when he saw the burning bush, or Jacob when he wrestled with the angel, or Isaiah and Jeremiah when they were given their prophecies. These were incredible events. But what struck me about Mary's encounter was time. The last book of the Old Testament is Malachi, which foretells the coming of a messenger, much like many of the prophetic books do. That book concludes roughly around the year 420 BCE. The next thing we read about in Scripture is Jesus around the first century. That's 400 years. In our tradition, we understand that to be the intertestamental period, the silent years, because God did not reveal anything new to God's people. God was silent. There was no prophets, no burning bushes, until the angel came to Zechariah and to Mary and to Joseph. Can you even imagine that? It had literally been generations since God spoke to God's people, since God broke into humanity with a call for something new. And God did it for the first time in 400 years with a young, engaged girl in Nazareth, of all places. Mary, when the angel appeared, I imagine, was a little bit like us, a little burned out, a little weary with the state of the world. The world was just getting worse around her. The political landscape of the first century was not great for Jewish people. Oppression was real, hunger was real, people in power were tyrants. There was just not enough money to go around. Corruption was rampant. Sound familiar? Mary was just trying to make it through, to be faithful to the God she had been taught about, but perhaps was beginning to question the power of that God. And then an angel appeared in her house. God broke the silence. God told her something new. God said it was time. And so Mary participated in the very first Advent. We spent 4 weeks. Mary spent 40. She had time preparing her heart, her life, for the coming of this baby. The Gospel of Luke jumps from the angel telling Mary about Jesus to Jesus' actual birth in just one chapter. But within those verses, all 54 of them, is the season of Advent, the waiting, the wondering, the remembering. Mary, like most new mothers, I'm sure, dreamed about what life would be like with this baby. What would the baby look like? What would their laugh be like? And Mary, unlike most new mothers, had been given word that this baby would be special beyond measure. That indeed this was the baby who had been foretold in all those prophecies she had heard read year after year in synagogue. But if you remember, the people in that time were looking for a military Messiah, a person who would free them from oppression and rule for God like David and the kings of the past. So I imagine she spent some time wondering how her little boy from Nazareth was going to become king. Mary was having to remember God's power to do the unthinkable, God's power to give her a baby, to take that baby and make him king. I wonder if Mary spent some of that first Advent reading again through Scripture, reminding herself of the God who could and would do the impossible. Hearing about Hannah, who was barren and conceived a son, of Moses, who was afraid to talk, and God gave him the words, of the shepherd boy anointed to be king of all Israel. I'm guessing her Advent involved remembering just as much as ours does. Our reading today from Isaiah is this very call to remember. Isaiah is speaking to a people in exile, a people who have not seen the power of God for a while, a people who were tired of being faithful when there was so much despair around them. Sound familiar? Isaiah speaks tenderly to these people. Comfort, comfort my people, he says. What a balm to a tired spirit. Listen to these words from Isaiah again, this time from the Message translation. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch his breath. He knows everything, inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. During Advent, we don't just look forward to the coming of Jesus. We look back as well. We are reminded to be still and remember that even when the world seems its darkest, God lasts. This is the joy of Advent. In a season where our culture has us filling our calendars, having to be three places at the same time, which is not at all personal, talk about my calendar, where our bank accounts are getting depleted for the sake of spreading Christmas cheer, where there is pressure to make sure the job is done the best it can before year end, when we are awake more hours than we are asleep, when it is the darkest, we are given the gift of remembering. Of remembering we serve a God who endures, who is larger than the circumstance of the day, who has no equal in all of creation, who numbers the stars and the hairs on our heads. And that same God brings us the strength to carry on, to keep faith in the promises of God, to hope of Jesus, the peace that will come, the light that will always break through the darkness. We, like I imagine Mary did, can find refreshment not only in dreaming of the future God has promised, but in remembering the promises that God has already fulfilled. Faith begins with memory, and that is what the season of Advent gives us as a gift. The memory of God's faithfulness and power, the refreshment we feel when we can sit with the promises of God that we are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel, we sing. And we don't just remember the baby. We remember the man who healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, ignited hope in people's hearts, preached the message of God's peace. We remember the God-man who taught us how to love with the heart of God and broke joy into the world, not with tinsel and presents, but with the refreshment of our spirits. One of my favorite Christmas songs is Mary, Did You Know? I'm sure you've heard it, but we're going to pause and listen to it again.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that?
Mary did not know. She could not have. But she prepared her heart for the promises that God gave her in that first Advent. We don't know what God is going to do for us. We don't know the ways of God. But we can continue to prepare ourselves by remembering the promises that God gave us in the person of Jesus Christ. I hope this Advent season you remember. I hope you are refreshed. I hope you are renewed in faith and feel lifted on the wings of eagles to soar into this next season, ready to see the present activity of God. For God is with us, Emmanuel. Thanks be to God. Amen.